The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your truth is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Back to the feed on Footy Prime.
No, the foot videos didn't do too well, surprisingly enough, on our various channels.
Could have something to do with the feet you chose.
Maybe.
They were gnarled.
Ooh, I like a gnarly toe. Anyway, it's Footy Prime. That was a continuation of our conversation before we recorded.
Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, ASMR.
Oh, ASMR, really? There you go. What's your favorite sound, Jimmy? If you're trapped in a desert island and you can have one sound, what is it?
Hiya!
What's that?
Can I get a...
Hi.
Oh, when he yells across...
Jimmy wouldn't last more than a day.
Yelling out across the desert.
Jimmy is topping himself for sure after that. Oh, God. Hey, it's four of us here. It's Wonga and Dubs as well as Jimmy and me, Shams. Did you just see Ronaldo story? I just perusing the news this morning. Mm. He boycotted his second game in protest of the lack of activity his club Al Nassr have done during the transfer window. He's all upset because Al Hilal, who are, I think, 1 point up on Al Nassr in the table, they signed Karim Benzema. Spent lots of money in the window, whereas Al Nassr haven't spent enough money, so he's refusing to play. Maybe it's because you're making 175 million a year yourself.
Could just dip in his own pocket, couldn't he, and help out?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take much for me to get aggravated by Ronaldo, and I'm sure there's more layers to this than simply. They didn't spend enough money in the transfer window. You know, is PIF involved? Are they biased or is it just purely the ambition of his own club? Still, you're the highest paid athlete in the world, I believe. Certainly the highest paid footballer. If you just take half that, half your salary, and maybe then they can invest it in the squad and you could win your first championship. Because he hasn't won one yet. Do you know that? He's won one trophy so far in Saudi Arabia. That was a cup. He hasn't won the Champions League, hasn't won the domestic league, nothing.
You got to feel for him a little bit, don't you?
No, you don't. You've got to take a page out of Tom Brady and Sidney Crosby's book.
Which is?
Take less money, which allows ownership to buy players around you and build the championship team.
And build your marketing brand on the outside because of that, because you're seen as a team player.
But he's not, because thou doth protest too much. I don't believe you, Ronaldo. Also, what you're walking into, right? Sorry, Jimmy. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like, it's one of four teams that are owned by PIF in the league. Yeah. So you kind of should have seen this coming, right? If you're like you're the petulant child and you're worried because they're treating another sibling better than you. How dare they?
Yeah.
Sorry, Jimmy. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's expensive refueling a jet.
Nice. It's true, right? Yeah.
They say no matter how much you make, you always find a way to spend it, right? You know, I know, I don't know about you, but when I've got raises in my life all those years ago, I always found a way to spend it. You know, I'm sure just because he's making 175 million a year now, just from his salary, he's found ways to spend it. And maybe that's jet fuel. Maybe that private jet he bought. Maybe, you know, so you do have to feel sorry for him a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to need that jet fuel if he's going to reach 1,000 goals, right?
How close is he now?
I don't know. But that's pretty good. You have to imagine for a guy who's so... Listen, he's class. He's one of the great talents the game has ever seen, right? But the ego is maybe bigger than the talent.
At this point.
Yeah.
Do you think
I think they met each other at one point. And one said, see you later. Yeah, it was like going up an escalator and it was slow. And he was like, and I remember 2022, when he went back to United and there was a bunch of drama because his teammates were like, what is wrong with you, man? Is what I got out of it. What is wrong with you? And I think that's when this was going on. The slow escalator up, the ego and the talent going down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Their ego. The slow escalator is Will Ferrell and Alf trying to go up the escalator.
Yes.
In the splits.
Yes. In that was, splits. Yes.
Yeah. It was maybe like the down escalator of the talent.
But there could be, the other thing is there could be a lot going on at Al Nassr because they could have got his tanning bed dial wrong and he got too tanned or not tanned enough, not enough on his scrotes, all that kind of stuff. Because they put the red light on the scrotes, right? It's good for you.
Is it really?
I don't know. I just saw there was a documentary about that and I was like,
about that.
Yeah, it's this alpha male documentary. And I was like, what is wrong with these people?
Is that paid for by Piff?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it could be. Mm.
Anyway, Ronaldo does it again, but I'm sure he'll come back and will save the day, as he always does. Hey, you know what today is? It's the first day of our push-up challenge, and I'm done. I'm done. Are you guys done yet?
Almost done.
Okay, really? Attaboy.
I did. I figured
8:40 a.m. You're done.
Yeah, I figured out my. Tell me your what you're doing, Sharms, as far as sets. But I figured out right now. I did 31. I did two sets of 20. So I need 20 more sometime today. So
today the goal today is 63. Mm-hmm. So I did 63 sets of one.
You just
it took me hours. I'd be not since. No, I'm joking. I did the same as Wonga, 20, 20, and then 23.
Oh, so you're around 73, 63 right now?
That's what it is today. That's the goal today.
Oh, no, I'm doing 91 because Dub said you have to, like, she divided the number.
Oh, no. Like, go 91. The app
and it gives No. I'm doing 91 per day just so I can, and then I'm going to start punching them out.
Okay,
that's what I'm doing.
Kind of, okay, that's fine. I don't care how you do it, but the point of it is kind of to follow the goal within the app. And so today is 63. By the time it's, February 20th, you'll be doing 110 or whatever it is. It kind of varies. They've got there's a scientific method to it.
Well, Wonger's looking progressive overload in the face and saying,
yes,
fuck
he is. He's doing his AC joint doing by 90. Day three.
No, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of admirable. You're just like, I'm doing it.
I have done
zero. I will have to, I'm going to chip away at it over the course of the day.
Nice. Jimmy, you say you do, you haven't signed up, obviously. No surprise there. But no, you do push-ups every day, you say.
Yes, I did a workout this morning.
Oh. And how many do you do?
Push-ups? Depends. I'll hit around 100.
Yeah. Is it like a body weight exercise workout, or do you use weights as well?
I use weights as well. Yeah. But a lot of body weight with the push-ups and dips.
Mm-hmm. Is it the military workout? I get this in all my feeds. Be a man. You can be a man in 6 months doing the military workout. And it's all like body weight stuff.
Yeah. I do. I do a lot of... Do you know what? In fact, do you mind if I show you my machine that I use?
Yeah.
He walks away. We can, while Jimmy's away...
My machine.
Sharms, do you have the names of our team? Because
yeah, I do.
Joined. It's great.
So far, I want to thank... It's been great support so far, by the way.
Yeah.
We're halfway to our target. We put it pretty conservatively, like $1,000.
Yep.
This is what you should order.
Oh, here he is. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So yep. Does your back, your shoulders, everything. And these come out, and you just put them on different angles for when you're doing your push-ups.
Oh, that's amazing.
So they're handled. You can move them. You can adapt them.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's really cool. So those that really aren't cool. Watching this, which is most of you, and listening, it's a board. It looks like a skateboard with two handles for the push-ups, and then various color-coded positions for those handles, because obviously you're going to hit triceps in a certain angle, biceps, lats, back, yada yada yada.
Did it come with a shake weight and an air fryer?
It did, actually.
And that's not all. Set it and forget it.
I did. I got it about 2 a.m. when the infomercial. I got a George Foreman as well.
That was my next question.
That is really cool, though.
He got some spray-on hair, too.
No, Jimmy, where did you get that from?
That's a good question.
I'm asking for a friend.
No, I love push-ups. I think it's a great idea, that is.
Push-ups are brilliant.
Like, why do you need a device to do push-ups?
Because it shows the angles, you know?
Yeah, it does. Oh,
I mean,
yeah, it puts you at different angles.
And isolation, right?
It isolates. You can also do that with a pair of dumbbells. Just saying. Your machine looks very cool. I'm glad you like it.
Stop pooing on it, please. It's a great floor.
No, the thing is, sometimes with the dumbbells, by the time you hold it, and because they're so big on either side, it's hard to bend your wrists. Where this, there's nothing stopping you.
Cool.
Yeah, my dumbbells are only the 80 pounders, so there's not much room for my forearms. So obviously, it doesn't work.
Go do another set of 63.
Like, you're starting to look like Popeye.
I love it. That's from the masturbation, though, Jimmy.
Oh, thank you.
I know.
Right. People are dropping out of the push-up group now.
Yeah. We're all in a push-up. So, yeah, thank you anyway to those that have signed up to our team. It's not too late. Anyone can. Just go into our X and pin the address there. But Jordan, Darren, Terrence, Corey, Costa, even my Mrs. Tony signed up today, this morning, after immense pressure and duress. So, yeah, sign up. I think you can sign up whenever, I think. Just you have to catch up, which is fine.
Is your Mrs. real name Anthony? Like, what? Or is she just Tony? Like,
just Tony. No, it's just Tony. Antonio. It's just Tony.
Just Tony. Just Tony.
Yeah. Antoinette.
That would be one too.
Yeah,
but no.
Mm-hmm. I played soccer with an Antonella. Right. There's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went to school with an Antoinette. So.
Antoinette. Yeah.
Really La Toilette.
Yeah. Wait, she would go off the deep end though. Lost her head a couple times.
Oh, holy Mary, mother of God.
That's actually true.
Yes, Mary Antoinette. She was asking for it. Okay, listen. Forge, Thai Tigres, 0-0. That's a result. Now, listen, I know it's freaking cold. It was like, what, minus 10 in Hamilton? And we know the Mexican players don't like that, yada, yada. But, Jimmy, that's a freaking result, isn't it?
It's a good result for Forge. Of course it is. I think when you watch it as well, it wasn't the typical Forge that you normally see playing that want to be on the front foot and control the game. I think they realized, you know, they're playing against a very, very talented side. So just the way that they defended, they looked organized and disciplined throughout the match, which was very good. They made it difficult at the time for Tigres, but you could see in spells the class of Tigres, just how good they are. But to get a result at home, 0-0, which is great, keeps you in the game. But we all know going down to Mexico now is going to be very, very difficult for them because these Mexican sides playing at home, nice weather, on grass, be a completely different game.
What do you think of Berto, Jimmy? He came up big on a couple of occasions, hey?
Yeah, very good. Made some great saves. Really did. I think that's a great signing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good signing. How they got him, that surprised, I think, a lot of people, but... Yeah. For a keeper with his class, I mean, he showed it. He was outstanding. He did make some great saves.
He was playing in Montpellier for years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that shows – I mean, listen, we think we're realists with CPL. Speaking of, it's fledgling. It's young. It's still coming into its own. We're seeing more and more players make the move to Europe, though. We saw that this past off-season. This off-season. It's currently in the off-season. But now you're attracting some players from decent clubs as well who want to continue their careers. That's a great sign, right? And a guy that's played for a good, you know, French team for so many years, making the move, I thought, is very important. It's cool to see Marcelo Flores too. First game ever in Canada, professional game in Canada as well. He actually played pretty well. This should not have been a 0-0, really. Right, there are a number of solid chances at both ends of the pitch, mm-hmm. And then I'm seeing Andre Pierre Gignac as well. This guy, I mean, speaking of players that have played at the top level, you don't often hear them heading over to Mexico later in their careers, but still, that's a name. It's kind of cool to see him on the pitch in Hamilton there. So yeah, I think they'll take that. I want to mention, by the way, our boy Armin Badakian, mm-hmm. who usually, you know, hits the nail on the head with his tweets. After this result, he says, have we already become so used to CPL soccer teams punching well above their weight that even a 0-0 draw for a Forge team that haven't played a game in months against literally Tigres, Mexico's first team, feels like just another day? Because that's a result every single MLS team would take 10 times out of 10. Exactly. It's a big result. Not nearly enough people are talking about it. I don't expect the major networks to, unfortunately, at this point. Even the ones that occasionally show CPL teams, CPL matches. But that's, I think that's a story that should be talked about far more than it is. And it just shows we're not quite there yet as a soccer nation, unfortunately. We're still niche, right? Dubs, it feels. We're still niche. Maybe that will change this summer. At least it will for a month. But, yeah.
I don't know. I think people aren't really tuned into the fact that the beginning of February, you might be finding a match of that, you know, stature or standing, you know, where it's a huge clash and it's a huge feat, I think, for Forge to hold a team that's in mid-season form in Tigres, right? When they've only been practicing. And I mean, the fact that Flores was there too, it should have been a massive story.
Mm-hmm.
Playing his first pro game in Canada. Right. It doesn't mean as his first pro game, just to clarify, just the fact that he's playing in Canada and just a couple of kilometers away from where he was born. And he connected on an incredible volley where Berto again made the save. And then he picked out in the second half on that left wing, dancing around players and swinging balls in with his left foot and his right foot. Cutting to the byline, finding guys like just above the penalty spot. Like he should have had at least two assists probably. I think, yeah, like everything that was going on, the narratives, there should have been more hype, one, around the game to begin with, but then two, as Armin is talking about, around the result. And then they go back. It's like, I wonder when they play next. So Tuesday, February 10th, they'll battle at Estadio Universitario. And it'll be a different animal. Right. It'll be very different.
What's an acceptable result there? Are we talking
7-0?
No.
I don't know.
Jimmy, like, Jimmy,
do they have a chance? Yeah, he's going to go, of course.
I don't think they've got a chance.
No, it's very, listen, going down to Mexico, it's a, like Dubs just said, it's a different ball game altogether. It's going to be very, very difficult for them. It really is. I mean, you're going to hold on for as long as you can, try to take them into penalties. If you can get there, but there's going to be a lot of defending, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Bobby switched to a back five, Jimmy, kind of employing some wing backs. Do you think he has a similar approach as the away team? Even more pragmatic, even more defensive?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to be if you want to stay in the game. I mean, look, let's be honest, you're not going to go toe-to-toe with them at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to play attack-minded football and try to control possession. You're not going to get that opportunity down there when they get on the ball with their crowd behind them and make it a hostile environment. Their tempo, they're going to raise it even more. So, and you just got to try to match their work rate and stay in the match as long as you can to frustrate them, really. And obviously, Tigres are going to want to come out from the get-go with a good tempo, good pace, try to score early, and then just take control and dominate the match.
Jimmy, you've been in both positions. Is it harder to switch playing into a defensive mode as a player or have your team switch from being like a front foot to a back foot team and being more defensive? What's a tougher challenge, the coaching or the player?
No, the players, look, at the professional level, you understand, you know the game, you know who you're playing against. In certain teams, yeah, you know you're going to be in possession. You can control the match because you're better player for player on the pitch. And then there's other times where you're going to play certain teams, you're away from home, and you realize that, you know, the game's going to dictate to you how it's going to go. And you can feel that they've got a lot of possession, which means you definitely have to stay organized and keep your shape. So the minute that you do mess up and come out of your shape, that's when you're going to get punished. So it is difficult staying focused for 95 minutes and keeping that balance in the shape. Because sometimes you do end up getting a little bit frustrated. You chase the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you start making your mistakes, and that's when they'll end up punishing you. So you've got to realize you're away from home, stay organized, stick to the game plan. You will get one or two opportunities, and you have to be so clinical. When you get one opportunity against these sides or two opportunities, you have to take them. Because it's not like you're going to go down there and get 20-odd shots and 8 on target.
I tell you, though, it demonstrates just what a good coach Bobby is, right? Like in these big games, his teams generally deliver, be it against MLS teams or, you know, at this level as well.
Yeah.
We are fortunate to have coaches like Jim, you think, in Canada. He doesn't get the press he deserves. But another example, Vancouver played last night against Cruz Azul, the champions.
Mm-hmm. Lost 3-0. Did you say we are fortunate to have coaches like Jimmy? Because I agree with
Jimmy,
you.
Well, I mean, Jimmy as well. I mean, Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby.
But Jimmy as well.
Same breath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we're Bobby. Nash.
We're oh, Jimmy
Nash.
Bobby.
Jimmy Bobby. It's like an NASCAR driver.
Jimmy Bobby. His brother's Ricky Booby.
And the creepy uncle, Bobby Jimmy.
Yeah.
So Martin Nash in Vancouver yesterday, last night. I didn't get to see the game. It was late. I had a lot going on. I was asleep by about 9:30. Lost 3-0 to Cruz Azul, who are the champions. And again, quite an acceptable result. They hung in there. They didn't embarrass themselves. And I don't know, Dubs, there are some matches, right, where you have to be realistic. And not being embarrassed should be the goal. In which case, mission accomplished. They're not going to win that match.
No, but I don't know. I don't like you saying that. It makes me feel uncomfortable, yeah, and I hate it. You can't. Jimmy just talked about going down there, understanding, being realistic about the approach and staying disciplined and having the right mindset. Having the right mindset isn't part, like, or going into a match and not wanting to be embarrassed isn't part of having the right mindset. Like, that can't be something that enters the discussion, even if they're playing the reigning champs, the holders of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, right?
Imagine that the pregame speech in the room.
Guys,
girls, just don't embarrass yourselves.
No.
Or as you're walking out, you're like, all right, lads, keep it to 7. We keep it under 7. We're all right here.
Okay, Jimmy, so Dub says that was never a home mentality ever. Was there ever a game you played in? Come on, just don't be embarrassed in this one. Was it ever?
No, you go out there to compete, don't you? You think you're going to try to get something out of it. Maybe with a couple of good friends in your locker, you're having a little banter with them going, oh, good God, put your seatbelt on because we're going to get absolutely fucking destroyed here. Mm-hmm.
See, my suspicion is if we had Craig Forrest on the show today, he would definitely agree with me. And I bet you, Craig,
no,
oh,
he wouldn't.
Fuck yeah. Well, after our 9-0, I was thinking, next game, don't be embarrassed. Guarantee it.
But now, listen, you go into matches, and I don't want to lie. There were times in my career with the national team where you're going up against, like, China in the late 90s or the U.S., where you just were not on the same plant. You were on the same field, but like it's just apples to oranges. Like, it was not the same thing at all. And you're just trying to hang in as long as possible. And athletically and maybe tactically, we could hang in for about an hour. So we knew that. And then you just need a bounce. You just need something to go your way. And we did that in 2001 when we beat them 3-1. And that didn't happen again for a very long time because, like, technically, we just couldn't compete with if you're comparing player to player. It was just they were in a different stratosphere in terms of talent and technical ability. But you had to approach each game as if you had a chance, because if you don't, and it's very cliched, then you really don't stand a chance. Because it's in your head. So that will seep out onto the pitch. So you're wrong, James Sharman.
I know. That there's a cliche that says, oh, they were beaten before they put a foot on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a well-known saying in sport. They were trying to avoid embarrassment. Just saying. You're probably right, though. Speaking of embarrassment, I know Jimmy's got to leave soon, but Jimmy, can you give us like 5 more minutes? Because we got comments today, but I have a little game here I want to play first with Wonga, which I think you'll appreciate, Jimmy. So okay. So just to give us like 5 more minutes if you can.
You are not nervous.
So and this is like, it's all at Wonga's expense here, but it's because we love him so much. And he's come more than perhaps anyone else in this country in the football world. No one's come further along than our Wonga in the last 6 years.
No, I agree with that. You make sense now sometimes.
It makes sense.
So did you hear him earlier, like, back this podcast up, like, about 10 minutes talking about Forge posing Jimmy a question? Is like, on the back foot, on the front foot. And I was like, who is this?
It's educated football opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And knowing enough to ask the right questions, which is the secret of a good host, which Wonga has become and grown into. We're very proud of you, Wonga.
Jeez.
But you still fuck up pronunciations a lot.
I do all the time.
There's some players, and you know, before we discovered football, there's players and teams that were relevant and were big names, right? And when we do address them, sometimes you get them wrong, and even some modern players, right? That's not your fault. Everyone does it. I'm the last person to you know, criticize over this. But I thought we'd throw up some names of players and teams, not the hardest in the world, not crazy, crazy ones, and just see how would Wonga pronounce this name. Okay? So we're going to start with a couple of clubs to start with. Okay, this is pretty easy.
I'm so excited.
This is pretty easy. Wonga, how would you pronounce these two names?
That would be Wycombe.
Oh, he nailed it. He nailed it.
Is that it?
No.
No.
Okay, and Walsall.
Okay, I thought you'd screw those up. This is Wickham and Warsaw. And what? It's in their lower division. Yeah.
So the Wickham. Top one is Wickham?
Yeah. Yeah. Wickham the Wanderers.
And the bottom one is correct, Walsall.
No, Warsaw. More, almost like you pronounce it almost like the Polish
capital
city.
Of Poland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Warsaw. Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And now listen, bear in mind, I've got a southern accent in England. I'm sure if you go to different parts of England, it's going to sound completely different. But Wickham was the one that often would stymie people.
Yes.
But actually, didn't Tony Adams manage them for a while, Jimmy? I think he did, didn't he? His first managerial job, yeah, maybe his last.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, didn't Paul Merson play there as well?
Did he? I don't know.
I think he did. I think towards the end of his career, I think he had a little spell there. Let me check.
And yeah, Wonga, there's no reason why you should really need to know how to pronounce those two teams because it's rare that we'll ever mention them. But
where are they right now in the table? Like, where are they in the English Jimmy's looking pyramid?
I don't know. We'll get to that. Here's one for you. More recent.
Yes. He did play for Warsaw.
Oh, yes. That's an easy one. Yeah. Wojciech Szczęsny.
It's Wojciech.
Wojciech. Okay.
And it's Szczęsny.
Oh, that's not bad.
You're close. Ex-Arsenal keeper, played, I think, Juventus too, right? He's made the rounds. Very good goalkeeper.
Wojciech
Szczęsny.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, Szczęsny, you're going to have a debate on that. I'm sure people will actually be screaming at us that we're pronouncing it wrong as well here, a lot of these names. Should we move on?
Sure. I appreciate it. Okay. Jakub. I'm going to throw that out because it is a Polish last name. Blaszczykowski.
Blaszczykowski.
Say that again.
Blaszczykowski.
Blaszczykowski.
Or maybe Czakowski. Oh. I've heard it as well.
Jakub Blaszczykowski?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a mouthful.
It is. It is a mouthful.
I think you're doing great, Wonga.
I think you are too. Okay, let's move on now here.
Oh, that's easy. Well, it depends because I went to school with a Socrates or a Socrates. So I don't know, but he was a Socrates Papastathopoulos.
Yeah, see, Greek names actually, if you break them down, aren't that difficult. They look very intimidating.
Papastathopoulos.
Dubs, do you want to give it a crack?
Socrates Papastathopoulos.
Jimmy, you want to give it a crack?
Papastathopoulos.
Papastathopoulos.
Papastathopoulos, I think is how you pronounce it.
Papastathopoulos. Oh.
Yeah,
and people, just so people understand, in broadcast, when you have a chance, there's a news wire that comes down. And it actually breaks down phonetically with hyphens how to say someone's name, whether it's hard R, hard A, whatever it is, how to pronounce that. So when you don't have these things given to you, it's actually very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The phonetic.
The phonetic English breakdown, right?
Yeah. The trouble is there's lots of these things out there for these names, but they all vary as well, right? Here's an easier one for you, okay, Wonga? Here's one for you.
That's in Wales.
Yes. It is
actually, yes. Paldrud. Okay.
Don't even try it. Don't even try it. I have no clue. This says,
is that real?
It's like the alphabet gone wrong, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it the longest name in the world for a town?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. And there is a shorter version of it. I didn't put that in there. But I mean, that's just, I mean, come on, Wales. What are you thinking?
Well, you know who we need here. to figure this all out for us.
Rhian Wilkinson.
Wilkinson.
Yes.
I bet she can pronounce it.
Yeah.
I know the first part is pronounced Cluh. Like LL is Cluh. Clonethly was a famous rugby team in Wales.
I think they made that word, right? And that was for the English, where they said, okay, England, meet us here and we will fight.
Yeah. I'll be here at 4 o'clock after school, England.
They're looking on a map. Where the fuck
is imagine if you saw it on a map and like it would like the whole name would go right across the country and probably touch France.
Yeah.
Here's an easier one for you, but it gets a lot of people mixed up here.
Phil Jajelka.
That's actually pretty good, Wonga, because a lot of people call him Phil Jajelka, right? But I actually interviewed him years ago and said, Phil, I've got to apologize for all broadcasters who mispronounce your name. How do you pronounce it? And he actually pronounced it Jajelka.
Yeah. Oh.
Say it again.
Yeah. Jajelka.
Jajelka?
But in England, they call him Jajelka.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the correct pronunciation is Jajelka. A couple more for you here. Famous player from Portsmouth, great player,
Nico Krenkar.
Say again,
Nico Krenkar.
Yes, Krenkar.
Nico Krenkar.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. But that was I love Nico.
The accent makes it a ch.
I guess so.
Is that it, or is it the J before the C with the accent?
I don't know, but that you're like asking too many questions.
Is that Croatian or Serbian, that name?
He's Croatian.
He's Croatian. All right.
It's like an upside down accent circumflex.
Oui.
It's like a jaunty hat.
Why am I second guessing myself now? He's Croatian. My God.
I just typed in Arsenal's new signing, if you can pronounce his name.
Can you put it in there?
They just got him. Polish kid. Really good.
Spell it.
HOLDENMAB MAB. No.
great content.
No, first name is HOLDEN, and his last name is MABALZAC.
Holden Mabalzak.
Oh, my ball sack. Well done, Jimmy.
So predictable.
Oh, well done. God damn it. He's ridiculous. Yeah, go. You got to go now. Fuck off, Jimmy.
Have a great day, Jimmy.
On that note.
He had me totally going there.
He did too.
Yeah.
Hold my ball sack.
Input that into your push-up board.
See ya.
Bye, Jimmy.
Here's one more for you. Here. This is it should be easy, right?
Dirk and Kite.
Yeah, you know what? I think that might be the correct pronunciation, actually. He's known as Dirk Kout.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was calling him Kout.
A fine or two. Yeah, but I think Kite actually might be the correct pronunciation on that one. So, yeah, a little fun with our Wonga. And it's not,
you know what? I appreciate that.
They're freaking tough names.
Well, the problem for me is I need to know what country they're from, because that's the difficulty. Like Hungarian names, Romanian names, basically Slavic, all that. As soon as you throw an accent on it, that's the only way, because otherwise I just go straight English. Or I try Latin and do a little like, hey, what would it be in French?
Yeah,
that's about it. That's how, because I don't know enough phonetically or you know, the root name, whether it's a Latin or Germanic or Slavic or all that kind of stuff.
You're right, though, about where you put the emphasis is really helpful. The emphasis in the long syllable.
That's right.
That is a Judy Walsh favorite. You get your merds wixed. We used to always say that.
Merds wixed. I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, no. That's... It's always helpful.
The secret to broadcasting, though, is just whatever you do say, just make sure you say it with authority. You own it as if you know.
True.
Even when it's wrong. You can't be like almost apologizing. I used to do that all the time.
Mark?
Oh, Christ. This one.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, it's tough, though. It's tough. Okay, well, that was fun. We have some comments to get to. Shall we do that now?
Sure. It's the comments. It's the Wongers mail sack. Come and join us today
on Foodie Prime. Yeah, lots around Vancouver. Lots around the transfer window for Canada as well. Now I know Axel Schuster's talking later today
because
it seems to get the tone right
this time or the last time.
The last time, right? I who knows. Because obviously there's the update. We won't get into it right now. There's the update a couple of days ago now.
Yep.
And I think the club perhaps thought their tone was a little bit too negative in response to that, I think. Mm-hmm. But we won't know until he speaks anyway.
Well,
I think funny. I think they're playing it pretty well, Wonga. Sorry, Axel Schuster. Like, I think they are playing it. They're leveraging the emotion right now to put pressure in certain areas.
Well, it's funny. That was, I don't know if you got to listen to Asa, but one of our questions was, how do you feel about being manipulated by Vancouver Whitecaps right now, Asa? Because they were question. Like, first on the phone, come down here. You need to be ready. But then we played yesterday. I dropped our content manager put the Axel Schuster. And I listened to the Axel Schuster interview from September.
So did I.
And I have to tell you, he is a straight arrow. He wasn't playing any games then. So it's hard for me to think he's playing games. This is their realistic situation. And I know we're going to go get to the comments, but it seems like what I gathered from that interview it's not like, oh, the tone is wrong. Maybe the tone is wrong for Canadians, but it sounds pretty right on for what Axel Schuster, how he portrays himself or how he navigates the narrative. He sounds pretty consistent. Dubs?
Yes. And what struck me about, I think, the end of that interview, I agree, like transparent, cards on the table, shoots you straight. That's the impression I always get from Axel Schuster, whether he's talking about, strategic moves for the team, signings, or kind of the arc that he's talking about with the ownership group, that transition and maybe a new build, getting to somewhere where both parties, if they're talking about Pavco and the Whitecaps or the government and the fans or the club. And he's saying, you know, when we spoke to him in the summer, he's like, we're about 30% on the way down that path. He said, so it's important to keep that into perspective or keep that in perspective. You know, so I think it allowed me to kind of reframe what's happening currently. Because I think that's the way that they're looking at it. That's the lens through which they're viewing this negotiation. But I think that the statement that they put out left a lot of people with a sour taste in their mouth because they're like, what more do you want? You know, if the province has offered them a net zero, quote unquote, agreement, even though it's still going to just give them, I think, $1.5 million per season, which is not enough. Obviously, you need to have more revenue as the, you know, seventh most I don't know how you would describe it. Like
attendance.
They
attended
attendance. Right. Yeah. Thank you. In MLS, but like nothing to show for it in revenues. You're dead last in the league. Yeah, we talked about with Asa about reconciling all of those things and a number of things, but that's what the club has to do. But I think the tone of that they maybe got wrong. And a lot of fans I was seeing, or at least in my own echo chamber on Twitter, that a lot of people were uncomfortable with that and did not like how that came off.
Axel is definitely a straight Schuster.
So. Yes.
So well, you done. Appreciate that one.
So good.
Just waiting, floating up.
Should I interrupt Dubs? Is an amazing point. Yeah, no, I'll let her finish because it's really
no. Good. I'm going to say always interrupt me if it's that good because that was very
I just
strong.
Thought you would have gone down that line.
Yes, I would have. I wouldn't have had the patience to wait till the end of what you were saying.
Well, that was very good, Charms. Unexpected.
But, it's an existential thing, right, for this club. They are worried, clearly. So anyway, no point going too much into it until we hear from him later today. But we've got some comments, though, which are still relevant. Thomas Twiddell said, let's go with crowdfunding, no? I would personally give some money, $50 to $100, if it means that we are keeping the Whitecaps at home. I'm sure everyone would get behind them. I am crazy? Yeah, I think you are.
Yeah.
I get it. I like the sentiment, but this is beyond crowd raising. Now, unfortunately, we're not big enough in this country, especially specifically in Vancouver, even, which just might be the biggest soccer market in the country, to raise enough money through fans, I don't think, to build a stadium, for example. It's just not there. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. It wouldn't hurt, sure. But, I mean, they're talking hundreds of millions in this deal, right? Hundreds of millions of dollars. This isn't like, you know, can you raise, you know, 50 grand? Mm-hmm. We're small. Let's be honest. The game's small in this country.
Also from this particular topic, Erica.
Eric LaBrosse. Yep.
Yeah.
Frequent commenter.
My computer's far away. It's half an hour. It blows my mind that this is the same city hosting a World Cup, yet we can't lock in investors for a performing MLS club to make this work out. So sad. Yeah. Exactly. It is sad that we can't find those investors. And again, going back to my previous point, it shows where soccer actually is at the moment, that there aren't those investors willing to help out here. And bear in mind, this once upon a time, a hockey team left Quebec City. This is hockey. They couldn't get the investment. That's a long time ago now. I get it.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get investment to keep a NHL team in a Canadian city. And we want investors to help out soccer. Feel nauseous saying that, but that's the reality, right?
That's the reality. I mean,
big bag
professional. I mean, we just talked about media landscape with CPL, right? And why did a match with Marcelo Flores not get enough, like have enough media around it? How come we didn't even hear like very little on all of the platforms other than, hey, you know, our friends, Tony talking about it with Forge, my buddy Charles talking about I saw the Barton Battalion go down on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Very interesting. Very fun, great, coldest, you know, it's on One Soccer, cold, a very cold game, you know, reminding of Ice Teca. The Champions Cup, CONCACAF Champions Cup, not getting the due, but look what it's around right now. The Olympics is starting this week, the Super Bowl, the NBA, the, like trade deadline for the Raptors, end of NHL before the Olympic break. You know, there is a bit of, can I say, kind of ignorant optimism that this is going to land on a media landscape. Hey, there's a game on a Wednesday on One Soccer, a very few people who have subscribed to it. Let's be honest. We know this, that this is going to get some media play when all of these other things are going on right now. Every second or third commercial I'm being fed right now, advertising, is an Olympic spot or a, you know, like, what are we talking about? This is exactly the same issue they have in Vancouver with soccer. You're fighting a media landscape, you're fighting a population. All these things are challenges, and unless a billionaire comes in, you're gonna always have these issues. So you have to work it out. It has to be something where there's got to be some play on Pavco government, figure out how to keep this around because of the good it does, the social good, right? And the positives and the benefits of a professional team in your neighborhood.
Yeah. I think also the fact is that for everyone listening to this podcast or watching it, we're all in the same soccer echo chamber. We do think the game's probably bigger than it is in Canada because that's what we live and breathe and read and watch and hear and listen all the time. Whereas it's important to be realistic, like I said there, Wonga, to know just our place right now. I strongly believe we can change and we're growing and we are. And those that run the CPL, they're aware of this. They're not surprised by any of this, that there was a lack of presentation, a lack of exposure for this particular game. They knew it was coming. They're working on it. They're doing all the right things. But you know about this game and these games if you're in that echo chamber and you follow Canadian Premier League on all the platforms and you watch One Soccer, obviously, but it's beyond those borders. That's where you got to grow. That's where the growth lies. And it's going to take time, but we're part of it. That's why we're doing this. We're not doing this for 6 years, freaking nothing for no reason because we think we're going to grow.
Well, Sharms, you mentioned about my growth, right? And I put that in the same place as one of my brother's friends, Rich, who was never a big Premier League fan or a football fan. And his son is he coaches minor league hockey. He's kind of embraced soccer and football in Canada. And he's now on, you know, the Canadian men's supporters. These things happen. That being said, I had to give things up. I gave up. I do not watch hockey at all anymore. Very little baseball. Because if I'm one of those kind of like my push-ups, all or nothing. I am just doing them. The phrase I always like to use for something like this with 2,000 pushups, I know it's going roundabout, but how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And that's how I feel about the growth of soccer in Canada. One bite at a time. We have to build each time and look at the bigger picture at the end. And if we don't keep that macro look, the micro will fucking kill you because it's so broken sometimes, right? From the investment on the lower end to how even Canada soccer, I'm not bashing them, but God, all of a sudden, Kevin Blue, Peter Grusso, Jesse Marsh are the saviors. They should never have had to be the saviors, right? That is the problem.
Yeah, I think it's about, you know, putting your how to eat an elephant, like how do you get active? How do you make that a habit and something that you're going to stick to? It's about working it into your day, little digestible bites. And then going back to what you're saying about, comparing the position or the amount of attention, the eyeballs on a CONCACAF Champions match played at Hamilton, a team that has had so much success in Forge and tying the juggernaut that is Tigres and why it didn't get so much attention. I think it's almost unfair to compare how little attention that got to the standing and the weight and the heft and the kind of historical importance of the Whitecaps out in that community in BC. Mm. Like that means that's woven into the fabric of that society. And I think there's a disconnect between what Sharms is talking about, our little echo chamber as soccer fans in this country, the soccer fans out in Vancouver and in BC, and then the people who are running things at the municipal, provincial, and federal government. Like if we want sport to be successful, as we're kind of attached on to North American quote unquote leagues that are very much US based leagues, where we're talking about, I was talking about apples to oranges earlier about Canadian players to Americans, and we're just trying to hang on. That is a great analogy for Canadian franchises in a North American league. We are an afterthought. So if we want to be the priority, then we need to prioritize our clubs, our communities in Canada, and it's up to the government to see eye to eye with the people who are the investor groups and the owners of these clubs. And they're not always looking at the same things. They don't have the same priorities, but we need to be on the same page if we want these franchises, which is what they are. They're not clubs like in Europe. And Forrest talked about this, I think, on an older pod. He always references it. It's like, it's not the same thing if we want them to stick around. So we have to say, we have to pronounce it. We have to shout it from the rooftops. This is important to us because it is meaningful stuff. Yes, it's about people getting paid and they're professionals. And it's not the same as grassroots and getting kids to be active. But they are linked. And if you remove a franchise that's meant so much to those people, it will have a ripple effect down to the grassroots. So we got to get this right.
Several commenters refer to the fact that here in Canada, in Vancouver specifically, community and cultural growth just isn't a priority. And they don't care about it. Now, listen, I don't know the first thing about that city and that level, but a lot of people said that. But, I think that's a Canadian-wide problem, honestly. The state sport and community is like intertwined so closely. Around the world, it is. I just don't feel that here. I just don't. We look at sport as the major leagues, the big money makers, and then nothing. Forget about it. And that's just driven by the private ownership with all the money, right? NHL, Major League Baseball, But anything a tier below, no, don't really care about it. Who cares about it? The impact on society doesn't matter.
And people argue we don't want to pick winners, right? With the open market, free market, all that kind of stuff. But we do with hockey. What are we talking about? And it's like,
the only reason, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a report came out last week. Canada Soccer put out there how Canada is now officially, there's some report. I forget who, I should know more because I read about it a lot last week and a lot's happened to you now and then. How it's the most popular sport in the country by a mile.
And it growing. Was Canada Soccer and I think Jumpstart with Canadian Jumpstart, Tire.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. Canadian Tire. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. So we know there's boots on the ground kicking balls around, but we've got to find how do you monetize that at the higher levels. because you can't be losing a Vancouver Whitecaps. That team leaves, then what's the point? What's the point of the game in this country, mm-hmm. really?
I was watching our IG when you asked Craig, hey, can you talk about Vancouver Whitecaps? And he goes, I don't want to. And you're like, that's not good for a podcast. And then he went into it, and it was so funny. So if anybody, just go to our IG, go to Footy Prime IG. We've got some good bits on that. And that was so organic from Craig. He wears the Whitecaps through and through. It's what made him a professional. It gave him his first look into being a professional. He talks about it all the time. So yeah.
Spoiled it. Canada's greatest ever goalkeeper. No, one of the greatest ever players. Okay, so good news. Let's get some positive stuff. Stephen Justacchio, we think, going to be playing in Major League Soccer. Not official yet. These things take a while. Obviously, the MLS window closes in March, right? But regardless, it seems he's off on his way to LAFC. Now, mainly positive. Some people are saying, what the hell is he doing that for? He could have gone to anywhere in Europe, you know, which is interesting, right?
But, it's a step down. What's he doing?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of Eurocentricity poking his ugly head out there. Here's one for you from Mihak Sohi. I disagree, to be honest, to a previous commenter. He may not be as talented on the ball, but his off-the-ball skills are very much needed in the team, being Canada. He contributes massively defensively, has better positioning than any other midfielder on the men's national team, and has way more experience at the high level than any other midfielder. There is a clear difference in the midfield when he doesn't play, and I think we are better with him in the midfield, especially on defense. Yeah, I think it's very well said. People are, I think, look at midfielders from their offensive standpoint, and of course it's important. And perhaps Justacchio doesn't provide the goals that other players might, but I think we can all agree when he's in that midfield, Dubs, he is a general. He is the de facto captain in so many ways. He's barking out instructions, talking to the referee. Mm-hmm. He's so important. I don't see, and I thought about this a lot with this wealth of midfield depth coming through. I don't foresee a World Cup match without him starting, whether he's playing for LAFC, Porto, or that Welsh team we mentioned earlier that we couldn't pronounce.
Mm-hmm. And with Porto, we've seen him under different coaches play more of that box-to-box player. He's not that with Canada. With Canada, he's very much the beating drum for everything that they do in and out of possession, right? And that's his leadership, but that's also his quality where he dictates possession, he dictates control, he dictates positioning, and make sure that Canada's rock solid down that spine. So I hate to see, I think it's naive when people are talking, they try to minimize his importance to this national team. That's why I think it's critical that he does go to a place, because allegedly, or at least from what I've read, there were a number of suitors or there were a number of options for him. So if this deal does go through, it's made official, I think he goes to a place where he's instantly that pivot in Mark DeSanto's LAFC. And I mentioned this on the previous pod. I asked Asa about it. I think it might be to the detriment of another Canadian in Mathieu Chouinard, because I do think that he might get pushed out of that midfield if Justacchio is in there. But he has the ability, maybe not the range of passing of some other classical, deeper-lying playmakers, but he has the ability to help the team to progress the ball and break through those thirds in a way that knits together that offense, but then more importantly, when this team is pressing, it keeps their structure, it keeps their discipline, and it keeps them kind of suffocating and organized. And he's a key cog in all of that. So I hate to see sometimes where people downplay everything that he does from a leadership perspective, but his quality, his technical ability, but his tactical acumen in the middle of the park. Like I think that always has to be underlined when you're talking about Justacchio.
Hey, Wonga, here's one for you. This is interesting because the last number of years,
we've Justacchio.
Stefan.
Steve Eustachio.
It's not Steven, it's Stefan. But the last number of years, we've really enjoyed this rivalry, right? Created between Vancouver and LAFC from these great, you know, matchups and seasons and the playoffs. And it's like this big bad LAFC with all the money, you know, and here comes Vancouver. It's brilliant. It's a proper rivalry now. Mm. There's a massive Canadian component to this LAFC team now. You know, is that going to change the way the neutral might watch a Whitecaps LAFC match?
It would for me, because that's not how I'm not a club guy. I've told you that I watch Canadians. So if people said, oh, you're cheering for Bayern this week, and then all of a sudden you're cheering for Dortmund. Well, if Alphonso Davies went to Dortmund, I'd be cheering for Dortmund. This goes back to working at Sportsnet, though, Sharms, and I know you have favorites as far as who you'd like to win, but there was a level of I couldn't have a team, and not only that, I got into some gambling. All good gambling, fun gambling, enjoyable gambling, know your limit, stay within it gambling. But you, every time you pick a team, you're cheering for that team now, right? So, hey, I'm cheering for the Ottawa Senators because I think they're going to beat the Montreal Canadiens, right?
Do you know that?
I'm a Habs fan.
I don't hate the Bruins. I don't hate the Leafs, but I hate the Sens.
Really?
That's
really?
Because of the proximity, right? Do you hate the Sens more than the Leafs?
Yes.
Okay. There was a neutrality that you had to create working in sports television, and that neutrality grew and grew. So this is where, and being introduced to your teams, I cheer for, I know it's not easy, but I cheer for Liverpool. I cheer for West Ham. I cheer for Ipswich, Nottingham Forest. Anytime one of your guys' teams, I even cheer for Chelsea of Asa, AR, Tottenham, Chris Rourke and JC. I like cheer for everybody to go. Scott Thompson, I cheer for Newcastle when they're winning. Like I remember Jaideep and Tottenham again. Like I remember who cheers for who, and I want them to be happy. Because hey, it's great that Brentford's, I think, seventh right now. That's a great story. But I was told about Brentford when I chose them as a team 5 years ago that they will never be in like. They'll barely be in the Champions League ever. They'll always be in this space because that's the type of team they are. And I'm like, so why did I choose them? Like, it is a risk to your soul to get too deep into this stuff. And I don't think of myself that way. I'm a balanced fan. And so going back to Vancouver, if Sam Adekube doesn't come back, Ralph Prieto gets traded, like all of these... Transferred, sorry.
You can't trade an MLS.
You were doing so well, Wonger.
No. But my point is, if of course, I'll always cheer for Vancouver, but that's having four Canadians, the head coach, Mark DeSantos, Schwanier, Schaffelberg, Steve Eustache.
What kind of mustache is that? Eustache.
That's exactly
Reposo, right? Thinking about him.
Reposo, Hassall. I have roster. Thomas Hassall.
Yeah, oh, and Sun, right. Sun and Buanga. They're a team I could cheer. Lloris, team to cheer for, and because Kara's there, and it's good for her career, right?
You just like everyone, don't you?
If there was someone who I disliked in television media, I would cheer against them.
Ooh, I'll give you some names.
You know a few. They've screwed you too.
Listen, we're out of time. Well, we've got more comments, but you know what? That was, I think, a pretty wide-ranging show. And we'll get to more comments next week.
And reminder, push-ups. I'm going to do my 91 today. Okay. I know I don't have to, but I'm going to.
Are you keeping track? Because you can keep track on the app, right? That's the whole point of.
I am going to keep track, but I haven't finished today. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm memorializing mine. So I've videotaped my, like, did it in fast motion, like, time lapse. And I'm doing all 2000. Pardon me?
Yeah.
You like 1.5 speed and then like a number of filters. I was like, who is that?
Yeah, he has no filter. Dubs, you know that.
Well, yes, I do know that.
But once again, reminder.
Yeah, just check out. You can join our team if you want. I don't think it's ever too late, but you'd be playing catch up. But you can donate to raise funds for a great cause, CAMH. And so you can find that, the address for the, all of that, on our X feed. It's pinned to the top, or on our newsletter as well. It'll be there, which you can sign up for, and comes every Friday or Saturday. But it'll be in your mailbox. Check your spam, by the way. If you haven't found it and you signed up, check your spam.
Yeah.
It's a new letter, so often it's untrustworthy source, because we are, if anyone's untrustworthy, it's us. But have a look there. We're back tomorrow. We're not sure with who. Maybe with a guest. We're not sure yet, but we'll talk about football and all sorts of stuff. And how the push-up challenge is going. Dubs has done zero so far today, so
you got your loser.
I'm not worried about it, you guys. Even with a bum shoulder, I'm going to catch up. I will say, though, for the people who maybe are hesitant to do the push-ups, it's a great overall exercise. It's like kind of a gateway into being fit and like more of an exercise routine that you stick to, because we alluded to that. If you have to modify your push-ups, don't go on your knees. A better way to do the progressive overload is to do an incline push-up or even a wall push-up.
Mm-hmm. It's better than, oh, is it
it's
really?
It's more transferable than putting your knees down and doing a push-up that way.
Oh, really? So the junior push-up is not as good as the wall push-up, basically.
Yeah, or like your countertop.
Yeah.
Or like a bench. Yep. And then if you need to increase the difficulty, obviously decline push-up.
Yeah. And modified push-ups are absolutely fine, by the way.
Great insight, Dubs. I love that.
And also to not bother your shoulder, your elbow shouldn't go straight out to the side. If you're looking at yourself of an overhead view, it should be more like an arrow.
Hmm. Yeah. I was always taught that's a boxer push-up. I was always taught fighters do it that way, so they don't blow their elbows out.
Yep. And just one more thing. How do you eat an elephant, Charms and Dubs?
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
One bite at a time. What does elephant taste like? Any idea?
Oh, it'd be good, eh? Because it's like they're extinct. They're on the extinct line. So you'd be like doing some, it has to be delicious.
I'm pretty sure there are elephant steaks at Monty Burns' mansion.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. I think
the real gorilla chest.
And you've had a bite of an elephant, though. You never forget. These loafers.
We don't need anyone else in this podcast. No, just entertain ourselves.
Be my best.